I'm riding along. Good morning, y'all. Singing the same old cowboy song. What another great Arizona Saturday morning.
It's almost too windy to ride.
Ooh.
Dusty, windy, couldn't keep your hat on today.
It was, when I left the house this morning, it was quite nice.
Well, look at it, it's picking up again.
Man, after last night, I had to go make sure all the chickens were still in the coop.
My pool looks like a pond this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, y'all. You're tuned in to Rosie on the House. That's my wife, sweet Jennifer. Joins us every Saturday morning to wake you up gently. We are Arizona's weekend wake-up tradition for 29 years. And, of course, my son, Romy, co-hosting the program for the last 10 years with me. It's been a lot of fun. Go family adventure here. Well, you're here in the 7 o'clock hour where you're always, like, just dropping in on the Romeros. Like, whatever we've got on our mind, whatever we've been reading about, whatever we've been spending our spare time doing, wherever our curiosity takes us, you're joining us for a family conversation Saturday morning. And so this morning, we've got a couple guests lining up coming in studio this morning. And the first one is a kind of a expert on the McDowell Mountain Regional Park. I'd like to introduce Amy Roberts, the interpretive ranger at McDowell Mountain Regional Park. And the Romeros and the McDowell Mountains have a long, long history together. Amy, good morning, and thanks for coming in and joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. McDowell Mountains, McDowell Road. The name kind of repeats its theme several places throughout the Scottsdale Mesa Fountain Hills area. What do we know about the namesake McDowell? Who's the man we named all this area after?
So it was actually named after General Irvin McDowell, and he was the commander over the Army's Western Division back in the 1860s, so right around the time of the Civil War. And he was the one who actually established Fort McDowell. So the area was named after him.
That's awesome. Folks, y'all need to know this, that I've kind of been beating around the backside, the front side, and the top side of the McDowell Mountain since the late 60s. In 1974, my sister dropped me off on Shea Boulevard with a friend, and we called my mom 2 days later at Pinnacle Peak Patio and said, "Mom, can you come pick us up?" We had hiked the ridge line of the entire McDowell Mountains in the 70s, and I tell you, it's really a beautiful range. Our house is painted the color of the McDowell Mountains at sunset, that mauve, beautiful, gorgeous color. I've told Jennifer the lot we're looking for is going to have a backyard sunset view of the McDowells every single day. Now, the McDowell Mountain Regional Park is over the hill, nestled in between the ridge of the mountains and Fort McDowell Reservation and Fountain Hills. And y'all have got a whole different, almost microclimate back there on the backside of the mountain.
Yeah, we do. The actual McDowell Mountain Regional Park is just on the east side of the McDowell Mountains. And so we have beautiful views of, you know, basically that entire surrounding area. And you can see Four Peaks really well. You can see the Matazal Mountains. You can see the Usury Mountain Range and the Goldfields. So we have just such a beautiful area, and we have 360-degree views. And then it slopes down, you know, toward the Verde River. So we have just a wonderful area in there. We're right about 2,000 feet is right about the elevation that the park is at.
Picture perfect of the Sonoran Desert.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, Amy, one of my favorite sunsets is sitting in the equestrian staging area of the regional park in my recliner camping chair in the middle of the monsoon season, watching those monsoons roll over the gold fields and the Four Peaks and fill the river valley there. And you can feel the temperature dropping. You can smell the rain coming. I don't know that there's a better experience than that one.
Yeah, I agree. We have, I mean, you can see the moon rising. We have great sunsets. We have all the views of the storms come in. It's pretty spectacular.
Some of the hiking I've done on the north side of the park, and a lot of people don't realize this, this General McDowell we were talking about built the road actually from Fort Reno, which is on the east side of Four Peaks, to Fort McDowell. Fort McDowell then to Fort Whipple up in the Prescott-Yavapai County area. The wagon road from Fort McDowell to Fort Whipple, there are places you can still see the wagon train wheel ruts in the desert. They're still there. I think that's just incredible.
Yeah, it is. And that's actually called the Stoneman Road. And that was after General Stoneman, General George Stoneman. And we have the actual Stoneman Trail. It's called the Stoneman Wash Trail. And that's a part of the trail system in the park. And that's actually part of that old road system. And so that was actually constructed to take some of that travel time off between Fort Whipple in Prescott and down at Fort McDowell. So it actually ended up cutting about 18 miles off of their route between those military supply forts, which was, you know, pretty significant in those days to be traveling in those types of conditions.
Yeah, that first road was actually Shea Boulevard, and went in, you had to go into Phoenix and then turn north on what's now Black Canyon Highway and then get up to Prescott. So he just made a big shortcut across there.
Absolutely, yeah. It just kind of cut it up through the northeast, and it actually gave them a lot more access to some water and some spring areas as well.
Well, I can't tell you the hours and hours of enjoyment I've had in your park, the backside of your park, and all over the McDowell Mountains. And I think people are surprised how much game still currently calls that home. I mean, there is a lot of wildlife viewing you can do on a hike through the McDowell Mountains.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we see everything from mule deer, javelina, bobcats, a lot of coyotes. We see, of course, a lot of rattlesnakes and you know, other non-venomous snakes, lots of lizards, lots of birds. So there is quite a bit of wildlife in that area. It's pretty spectacular.
Have you heard recent reports of a mountain lion sighting?
I have.
You believe them?
You know, it's always possible. You know, it's just something that comes up every once in a while, but specifically this spring, I've heard a couple of reports that I would consider pretty credible. And because of the fact that we have, you know, deer in the park and other, you know, javelina and things, that it's absolutely part of what their territory is, you know, down, you know, toward the river, the Verde River, and up into the mountains. So absolutely, I've heard a few, and I think that it could be very credible.
I met a gal just this week who was convinced she had seen one. And she called her husband and said, "I see a bobcat." And she described it. And he said, "No, honey, that's a mountain lion." Just, you know, so
yeah.
She said they just kind of stood real still and then just ambled away. Probably, maybe a mama, this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and some people, you know, it's easy to confuse for some people bobcats and mountain lions. But like I said, we've had a few reports that I think probably could have been mountain lion sightings.
Yeah, the real acid test there is when you see them. If it looks cute and cuddly, like you want to sneak up to it and pet it, that's a bobcat. If it's a big thing with teeth 3 inches long, that's a mountain lion.
It has a big, distinct difference, yes.
But and everybody that I've ever known that's seen a mountain lion, they say that, you know, the hair on the back of their neck stands up.
And your body knows.
Yeah, your body knows that it's a predator.
Absolutely. And I think residents all around the McDowell Mountain Range, on all sides, can send you pictures of bobcats sitting in the lounge chairs beside the pool in their backyard. Lots of bobcats.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, on a recent hike just week before last, I went on. I was on the other side of the range, outside your park, but I went from the Gateway Trailhead to Sunrise Peak Trailhead and back. And in that route, I saw a javelina, three snakes, a desert tortoise, and a Gila monster.
Oh, wow.
And not even counting. And I took pictures of three birds I couldn't even identify, and I haven't even had time to sit down with my Audubon book to see what they were. So, I mean, wildlife viewing. We saw a green-up in the McDowell Mountains this spring like I haven't seen in a long time. It was absolutely gorgeous. What was your spring blossom like on the east side?
We had a pretty decent blossom. It was probably the best spring blossom that we've had in the past 5 or 6 years. It was a lot. We had a lot of green grass and things like that, so it was very pretty. As far as our wildflowers, it was pretty patchy. We had great areas where they were pretty prevalent, but we have some photos in our visitor center from about, I think it was 2008 or 2009, where the hillsides were just completely yellow. And we haven't seen anything quite that good, but it was certainly better this year than it has been the past few years.
The past couple, the timing of the winter rain was absolutely perfect for that. And then we got dry a little bit too quick, and it wasn't able to take full advantage of all the poppies that can come out. But you've got the desert marigolds. You've got the, what's the other little yellow one?
Brittlebush,
thank you very much, yeah. So we took a hike in February through there, and there were sides of the hills that actually looked like they were on fire. They were so yellow. Just, I'll tell you what, Amy, just between you and me, I think the McDowell Mountain Park area puts a lot of the other mountain parks in our community to shame. The McDowell Mountains truly are beautiful.
They really are. It's a very spectacular place. It's just a very special place.
It's always interesting to me as I hike and peruse the area, the amount of early settler activity I see in there, in the way of foundations and old structures and old pipes and indications of mining. What were they mining in the McDowell Mountains? Was there any significant mineral deposits ever discovered that drove this activity, or was it just guys digging, scratching, and giving up?
I think a lot of it was exploratory mining. There was never really any valid, you know, mining claims that really took hold, obviously, or it wouldn't be a park today, probably. So that's a good thing for us.
Right.
But they were doing some exploratory mining, and it was primarily for gold, silver, and copper were a lot of the minerals that they were, you know, looking for. But the other big one was clay. So there's quite a few areas, especially if you're familiar with the park, along the Pemberton Trail, and there's a spot along the Tortoise Trail, that they did some clay mining. And so there's a lot of just exploratory areas like that. But then there's an area called the Dixie Mine where they were doing more for the gold, silver, and copper. So that was a pretty big activity. And the actual park for quite a number of years, it was actually a working cattle ranch. So there was grazing throughout the area, and they had dug some well sites, and it was just a ranch homestead for many years.
And you were telling me a little bit about the story of why the clay wasn't mined. I think that's kind of a little interesting fact of technological evolution.
Yeah, so as the story goes, that they were trying to mine this clay, and right around the time when PVC was created and they started to use it for pipes, for sewer pipes and things of that nature, is when they discovered they could use that, and then they didn't really need to do for the clay mining anymore. They kind of changed the
plastic industries unknowingly saved McDowell Mountain Regional Park back in the 60s. More with Amy Roberts, the interpretive ranger of McDowell Mountain Regional Park, when we get back.